Benjamin Franklin said, "Do not squander time, for it is the stuff that life is made of." As I study the life of Jesus, I'm amazed that he never seemed to be in a hurry. Have you noticed that? Although he was doing the most important job in all of history, redeeming mankind, Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. He never said, "Let me say a quick prayer." He made time to consider the lilies, to consider the birds of the air. He made time to put his hands on little children and bless them. Time seemed to be his friend. You see, the Bible gives us great insight into how to make the most of our time. And for our time today, I want to invite you to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, and we're going to look at a psalm. If you look at the top of Psalm 90, it tells you who the author is. And in case you're wondering, Jesus is always the right answer, all right? But for Psalm chapter 90, it says at the top, if you'll read it, it says, "A prayer of Moses." Now, this is the same Moses that led God's people out of slavery and into the promised land. And I'm thinking, if somebody's recording their prayer, someone like Moses, we ought to pay attention. And so Psalm 90 gives us some insight into his prayer. Now, let me give the context for Psalm chapter 90. It is a time in the history of God's people that an entire generation chose not to trust God. And so as part of their judgment, God said, "Everybody who's 40 years or older, you're going to die in the wilderness. You won't get to experience my promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're over 40. But listen, that was an entire generation of people that chose not to trust God and that they would die in the wilderness. Just so you know how many people, it's over 1 million people that would die in a span of 40 years. So for you math machickens out there, that's about 68 funerals a day. Now, I'm not proposing that Moses did all the funerals, but I imagine he went to a lot of them. 68 funerals a day. One theologian remarked it was the world's longest funeral march. So if anybody understood how short life is and how important time is, it would have been Moses. So you and I need to listen up. You and I need to take some notes from his prayer journal. So if you are, and I would encourage you to take your listening guide in your worship folder and write in, "We should trust in God's eternity. We should trust in God's eternity." Notice verse 1, it says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place for all" what? "Generations." See, generations come and go. As a matter of fact, a generation is about 30 to 40 years. Let me list a few of them that we know, like boomers, Gen X, millennials, you got Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Gen Beta. And you see, while generations come and go, there's one constant, and Moses points it out in God's word, and that is God. God's the one who never changes. Why? Because he's eternal, meaning he has no beginning, he has no end. And so he exists. He's not bound by time. He actually is greater than time. Notice verse 2. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Would you just highlight those two words? From everlasting to everlasting, You see, God has no beginning. He has no end. And here's where the real difference comes. You and I are finite. And so we think in terms of time and space, and we think very temporally, where God thinks eternally. So he thinks differently than you and I. Wayne Grudem writes in his book, Systematic Theology, he says, God has no beginning and or succession. He sees all time equally vividly, yet God sees events in time and acts in time. And so God's word all throughout teaches us that we should value time as a precious commodity. And so write it in, will you? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. I know this is on the heels of Christmas, but many people spell love T-H-I-N-G-S. But children spell time or spell love much differently. They spell it T-I-M-E. So husbands, wives, give your spouse the gift of your time. Dads, let me encourage you. Your wife and kids need you, not your money. I can honestly say as I reflect on my own childhood that I remember very few gifts that my dad gave me in the way of presents. But what I do remember is he was there for me. Every baseball game that I ever played, every fishing trip that we took, I can remember those things vividly. But the gifts, I don't remember them so much. Reminded of the heartbreaking story of a little boy who was trying to get the attention of his dad, who was always busy working. And so he approached his dad and said, Dad, how much money do you make per hour? And the dad said very impatiently, I don't know, son, maybe $50 an hour when I'm working. And so unbeknownst to his dad, the little boy took on some odd jobs. And after a couple weeks of working around the neighborhood, he came up to his dad. He says, Dad, here's $25. Can I have 30 minutes of your time so we can play together? Write it in. The most valuable gift is eternal. Love is spelled T-I-M-E, but the most valuable gift really is eternal. There's so many expressions and so many sayings around time that are just not true. Maybe you've heard this one, well, time is money. It's not true. It may be hard to make more money, but it can be done, but it's impossible, completely impossible to make more time. Therefore, I would argue that time is actually more valuable than money. A.W. Tozer writes these words, time is a resource that is non-renewable. It's non-transferable. You cannot store it. You cannot slow it. You can't hold it up. You can't divide it or give it up. You can't hoard it or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable, he says. And he also says, when you kill time, remember, it has no resurrection. The British missionary C.T. Studd, he said these words, and maybe you remember them or have heard them before. He says, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You see, you and I, we really need to reframe our thinking to have an eternal perspective on time. Just a question I wrote down, maybe just for me, but maybe for someone else in the room or by watching online. What are you teaching others about how you spend the time that you're given? What are you teaching others by how you spend your time? And again, look at verse 1 and 2. Generations come and go, but God is eternal. So what are you doing to make God your dwelling place? Notice the next letter in time is letter I. Write it in, invest time wisely. Invest time wisely. Look at verse 4. It says, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You see, you can't buy more time. You can't really find more time. Sometimes we talk about making time, but you can't make time. So write it in. You cannot save time. Time is like money in that it can be spent, it can be invested, but it's radically different from money because while money can be saved, time can't. So if you don't lose it or if you don't use it, you actually lose it. It's gone forever. Now, I have something wrong with me, broken inside of me. Maybe some of you can relate, but when I get in my car and I go somewhere, I punch in the address and it says, you'll be there. Like, for instance, this morning, it said, I'll be at Ingleside Baptist Church in 21 minutes. I said, oh yeah? Watch me. Anybody else have that same disorder? Yeah. Yeah. If your spouse is not raising their hand, they're lying in church, just help them out. Just pick their hand up. I made it in 17 minutes. What did I do with those 4 minutes? Did I put them in my pocket? No. See, I didn't save time. I didn't make time. Where did it go? Do I have it stored somewhere? No. You see, I can only spend time. I can only invest time. You see, we all have different amounts of money, but we all have the same exact amount of time. As a matter of fact, you and I both have the same amount of time in one day, 86,400 seconds. That's it. That is one day, 86,400 seconds. Now, if someone gave you $86,400 and said, you have 24 hours to spend this amount of money, what would you do with it? Well, if you're like my wife, you would spend every dime, right? But truthfully, she'd buy $200,000 worth of stuff and she'd say, look at all the money I saved. Girl math, ha, right? She's incredible with money. But that is a challenge that she would live up to, and some of you can relate to that. You see, all of us, if that were our perspective on time, it would radically change how we invest our time. See, you'd invest it wisely because there's no promise of more money tomorrow. We're not promised a fresh supply. So the question I have to ask you this morning is this: what are you investing the majority of your time in? Where is your investment? So write it in. This next question or statement, how you invest your time really reveals what you value. Let me say that again. How you invest your time reveals what you value. Now, I know 86,400 seconds seems like a hard number to fathom. Let me give you the number for the week, 168 hours. You and I both have 168 hours in every week. So let me tell you where that time goes. 56 hours goes to sleeping. Roughly 24 hours goes to personal care and eating. About 50 hours includes travel to and working, which means there's about 38 hours a week discretionary time, or said differently, roughly 5 hours per day. So my question to you is, what are you doing with those 5 hours? If I were to follow you around and look at your discretionary time, what would I learn? And again, I don't mean to offend you, but for some of you, it would be glaringly obvious that social media is the most important thing in your world. For some of you, it would be completely apparent to everybody that watching television is the most important thing to you. But here's my question, one that I have to ask myself as well. How much of my discretionary time am I devoting to the Lord? How much of your discretionary time are you really giving to the Lord? How much are you devoting to your family? I want to give you a statistic that I found, and it's staggering. Listen to this, and I'm going to say it twice. 75% of the time that we spend with our children in our lifetime will be spent by the time they turn 12. 75% of the time that you will spend with your kids will occur before they turn 12. Maybe you've heard this excuse before. Some mom or dad will say, well, I don't spend much time with my family, but the little time that I do have with them is quality time. Listen, that's an excuse. Because there's no such thing as quality time. All time has the same quality. If I had a wrinkled up, very used $100 bill and a very crisp $20 bill that looked brand new, and I gave you the option to choose which one you could have, which one would you choose? You would choose the $100 bill. You wouldn't say, well, that one's actually quality. I'll take that quality $20 bill over the $100 any day. No way. You see, you and I spend our time on what we value the most. So we need to invest it wisely. Well, the next letter in time is letter M, and I would encourage you to manage your time as a gift from God. God's word challenges us to manage our time as a gift. Notice verse 10 in Psalm 90. It says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. You see, God is the one who created time, and he controls time. And so we need to understand a couple truths. Write it in. Every moment that you and I have is a gift from God. Every moment that we have is a gift from God. Therefore, it requires you and I to steward it or manage it wisely. As a matter of fact, there's a field of study called time management. And in almost every business in America, there's experts who teach executives how to better manage their time. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he writes these words. Time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up, save it, or lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward at the same rate. Here's what he says, and listen carefully. The challenge is not how to manage time, but how to manage ourselves. The Bible uses a different word than time management. It speaks of redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Look again at that phrase, look carefully. Pay attention to how you walk. Constantly look around and make the most of every opportunity. The King James and the New King James says redeeming the time. You see, life is brief. The days and years go by faster than we expect, and once they're gone, we can never get them back. So God's word encourages us to make the most, redeem the time, no matter how small, no matter how ordinary. So we create memories and experiences that literally last forever. I've done a lot of funerals in my life, and it's amazing. Each one has some similar characteristics, and some have very different characteristics. But in a lot of the funerals that I've done over the last 30 years, here's what I've noticed. A person, no matter how long they live, a person's life is reduced to about 5 to 10 minutes of PowerPoint pictures. Their entire life in 5 to 10 minutes of pictures that are set to music. Listen to me, time flies by. When my wife and I were moving back to Macon, we packed up all of our stuff. The movers came in, they cleaned the house, and I said to her, I said, honey, we really need to walk through the house, make sure we didn't forget anything, make sure the movers got everything. And as I took her by the hand and we walked through the house one last time, kind of hit both of us, but especially my wife. We made one last walkthrough. And let me just tell you up front, my wife doesn't cry. I'm the crier in the family. She doesn't cry. She's logical. She is not emotional. She is factual. She doesn't cry very easily. And as we walked through the kids' bedroom, she started crying. She couldn't stop. And what caught her eye was as we left, both the rooms were empty, but as we left, we noticed the door. I don't know if you do this at your house, but with our kids, every birthday, we marked their growth. We took a moment in time and a Sharpie marker, and we wrote on that door where they were, you know, kind of line them up, put a little marker on their head, we put the date. And we noticed on both of the doors just filled with moments of time, memories, measurements that we'd never get back. And she said, well, what are we going to do? I mean, do we need to come back and paint the door? Do we need to hire someone to paint the door? What do we do? All those memories are right there. I said, honey, we can't do anything about it. We just got to move on. And we did. And little did I know, my brother-in-law took advantage of this opportunity because he got to see my wife cry. That never happens. He knew it. And we left. And literally, he went into our home later. Unbeknownst to us, he took those doors down, sawed off the edges, put new doors in their place, painted them, and now we have, as a Christmas gift, he gave this to her for Christmas and watched her cry again. Yeah. We have these memories. We have these moments that are recorded. Listen to me. Very carefully listen. Every moment that you and I have is a gift from God. Someone said, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. But when I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. And soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. So you and I need to be very intentional how we live, looking for every opportunity to make the most of the time, to redeem the time, because once it's gone, it can never be reclaimed. And write this down. If you don't manage your time, somebody else will. If you don't manage your time, then somebody else will. Remember, you can't save time. You can't waste time. You're going to spend it or you're going to invest it. But here's what I know. If you don't control your schedule, someone else will gladly do it for you. Going back to the words of Stephen Covey, you may be managing your time poorly because you're not managing yourself wisely. You've got the same exact amount of time as everybody else. And the most important time that you invest will be in your family and with the Lord. You see, more time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. There's a Mississippi saying that says this, a bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that's intentionally kicked over. So the final letter in time that I would share with you from Psalm 90 is letter E. And it stands for embrace wisdom. Embrace wisdom. Notice Moses' prayer in verse 12. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. If you're comfortable writing in your Bible, I would encourage you to underline that word teach. We'll come back to it. Now, here's a couple ways to redeem your time and to gain some wisdom. Number one, write it down. Say no to say yes. There's always going to be something else to do. There's always going to be somewhere else that you can be. But if you're going to make the most of your time, then you're going to have to learn the power of a two-letter word that's actually a complete sentence. Say it with me. No. No, you don't have to say anything else. You may have to say it like that. Put on your best growling voice and just say no. So what do? We say no to some things so we can say yes to the best things. This is what it means to have a heart of wisdom. Notice Moses says, teach us. Now I want to remind you, this is a guy who's watched funeral after funeral after funeral, day after day. And he's still in a posture with both hands up in the air saying, Lord, teach me. Lord, would you teach us? You see, we need God's help to discern good from best. See, so many of us, we just allow interruptions to come and other demands to distract us from what's best in God's eyes. See, 1,000 years from now, what's going to be more important? Spending time with your family and spending time with the Lord, or checking your email again? Or updating your social status, your Facebook, your Instagram for the 23rd time? See, nobody on their deathbed has ever said, boy, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. See, we need to learn to say no to some things that take us away from God's best things. So write this down. Another way that you could redeem the time is turn moments into memories. Turn moments into memories. See, your kids are only going to be with you for a few years. Make the most of it. See, the nest is empty at the Noland House. I've joined the ranks of some of you who look back and agree, boy, those years, they flew by so quickly. Psalm 90 teaches us that God is everlasting to everlasting, which means even if we do get to live 70 or 80 years, that is a snap of the finger compared to eternity. James writes this in chapter 4, verse 14. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? He asks. For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have long to live. It's true. See, time management isn't just about filling our calendars. It's about prioritizing what brings us closer to the Lord. So what do? We turn moments into memory. See, wisdom teaches us to live intentionally rather than just getting through the day. So as we wrap up, which means absolutely nothing to a pastor or preacher, let me say, here's a great question for us to consider. Write it in. Am I living for now or am I living for eternity? Am I living for now or am I living for eternity? Ecclesiastes is a book all about time. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. You see, God has placed innately within the heart of every person the ability to know that this life is not all there is. There is an eternity. So invest time wisely. Invest time in eternity. Again, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. What does this mean? This means there's a right way and a wrong way to number our days. You see, most of us, we celebrate our days by counting 365 and celebrating. We count our days, 1, 2, 3, so on. But verse 11 and 12 draw this practical conclusion for us that we're to number our days and make our life count. See, our days are limited. Our days are numbered. And what you and I do with the time that God gives is incredibly important. As a matter of fact, I've done the math. If you live to 70 years of age, you'll have approximately 25,000 days. But God numbers our days differently, and so should we. You see, the truth is, and I'm not trying to be morbid in any way, but today may be your last day. Today could be your last day. And when your countdown gets to zero, what's going to happen to you? See, the truth is, you may be running out of time. And my question to you, if we were having coffee, I would simply ask you, have you invested time in knowing Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus to save you? If you don't know him today, there's only one acceptable time to place your faith in Jesus. And let me tell you what it is. It's now. All throughout the Bible, we're not promised tomorrow, but very clearly it says that now is the time to be saved. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. It says, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So write it in. The best time to be saved is now. Don't put it off. Don't delay. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin, then right now is the time for you to be saved. Why? Because you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised later. So what's the best thing for you to do? The best thing for you to do is intentionally give your life to Jesus, to turn from your sins and trust him. Why? Because time is short. Eternity is forever. So what does this mean? I know this may sound disrespectful. I don't mean it. But at the end of every sermon, I ask two questions. Write it in. So what? So what? We've read God's word. We've worshiped through song. We've worshiped through the word. And the question I always ask is, so what? And then now what? In other words, what are you going to do? What am I going to do with what the Holy Spirit just spoke? And so I wrote down a few things, but there's plenty of space on your outline for you to write something else. Number one, create a mission statement for yourself, for your family. What are you living for? Maybe 2026 is a time where you say, you know what, I'm gonna live my life on purpose. We're gonna have a mission statement. I'll tell you ours as a family, and that is live to give. Very simple statement. We live our lives to give our lives. And there's so many more things that that might mean for you and for me. Notice number two, it might be time for you to have a tech-free time. In other words, set aside one night of the week where you turn everything off, turn it to do not disturb, and you actually pretend it's 1985 and you have real conversations with people. Instead of texting your wife, you'd actually look her in the eyes and talk to her. Wouldn't that be great? That you just turn off all the technology for one night, maybe one day. Number three, begin reading God's word daily. On the edge or on the verge of another year, some of you say, you know what, I'm gonna read God's word. Let me encourage you. There's a resource on our webpage at ingleside.org under resources, Bible reading plan. There's five to choose from. But center your life around God's word. I would challenge you to apply some of these things, maybe in that white space on your outline, to write in something else as you think about your time, how you invest it, and how you steward it well. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of how we use, how we invest our time. Lord, may how we live and what we do bring glory to your name. And Lord, if there's someone here watching online or maybe someone in the room that hasn't yet repented of their sins and trusted you, that today would be the day of salvation, that they'd talk to a friend, they'd talk to one of the pastors in just a moment. And God, as we do look towards the days ahead, help us, teach us to number our days, teach us to redeem the time, making the most of every good gift that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.